Okay, good morning. And again, we're blessed to be in the month of Adar, of Simcha, of joy. Today's daf is daf Pei Zayin. We were on the very bottom of Pei Vav Amud Beis. We're dealing here with the issues of Kisi Adam, covering the blood. And the last thing we saw was that there was an argument in the Mishnah, if somebody's going to slaughter both a wild animal and a bird, so according to the Chachamim, all you need to do is one act of Kisui for both, for the blood of both. And according to Yehuda, first you cover the wild animal, and then you cover the bird's blood. And this is based on a Pasuk, and how to read the Pasuk. So that's what we were up to. About seven lines from the very bottom. Amar Reb Chanina said, Modahai Reb Yehuda l'inyan bracha. Even though Reb Yehuda says that you can't do one act of covering for the two bloods, first you cover the wild animal, and then you cover the bird. Reb Yehuda agrees in regards to the blessing, Shein mevarech l'bracha achas. He only recites a single blessing. The bracha that he made for the first kisui works for the second kisui. Amle Ravina, the Rav Acha Brei de Rava. Ravina said to Rav Acha, the son of Rava. V'amil others say, Rav Acha Brei de Rava said it to Rav Ashi. Ma'ishnami Tamida de Rav. Why is this any different than what the students of Rav taught us? That once there is a hefsek, once there is a break, you need a new blessing. Yeah, question?
Yeah, they make a bracha on the shkita and then a bracha on the kisoy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you make bracha, shkita, then you make kisoy, and then you make another bracha, shkita, but the kisoy from the fourth book.
No, you don't need to make a bracha on the next shkita or kisoy.
That's what they're saying. The first set of brachas works
for the next. Okay. So they said, why would that work? It should be a break.
They have to cover all the blood or just portion of
it. We're going
to
see soon in today's daf. It's a machlokas. It's an argument.
That's
an argument of the Tanaim. Yeah.
This is two separate brachas.
To Rav Bruna and Rav Chananel, Talmida de Rav, Havu Yasvi Besudasa. Rav Bruna and Rav Chananel, the students of Rav, were sitting in a meal. Kayim Alayu, Rav Yeva Sava. Rav Yeva Sava was standing over them, serving them. Amrulei, they said to Rav Yeva Sava, Hav Livrich, give us a cup for Birkas Hamazon. Give us a cup for benching. Hadar Amrulei, then they turned around and said, you know what? That cup, we just want to drink from it. Hav lishti, give us that cup to drink some more wine. Amaluhu Rav Yeva Sava, Rav Yeva Sava said to them, Hachyamar Rav, this is what Rav said. Keva damar, hav livrich. Once someone says, give a cup for the Birkas HaMazon, that's a hefsek. It's a leila mishtachamra. They're not allowed to drink wine anymore. And if they want to drink wine, they have to make a new bracha on it. The meal's over. They said, we want a bench. So the same thing should be here. Why are you saying that everybody agrees that all you need is one set of brachos once you cover the blood of the wild animal? So that's it. That was a hefsek. And now you should need a new bracha for the bird. Hanami, here too. Kevan de itfale luksuye. Once you've stopped shchita and gotten busy with covering the blood, ichayv leila bracha. Now you should need a new bracha for the next act of Shechita. The Gemara says, no, Hachi Hashti, what's the comparison? Hasam, in regards to Birkas HaMazon, Mishtu, Bruchi, Ba'adi Adadi, Lo Efshi. You can't be drinking wine, being Boy Priya Gafan, and at the same time benching on that wine. If you're benching, you're not drinking. But Hacha, but over here, Efshi Deshachet Bechada, Umechsi Bechada. But you can do it. It's fine. You can, on one hand, be covering the blood, and with the other hand, be shechting. Or one hand shechting, the other hand covering the blood. So you can do the two things at the same time. The fact that you're covering the blood doesn't mean that you have a hefsek from the shechita. Therefore, the bracha of the shechita continues. And therefore, when you do the next shechita, you don't need a new bracha. Rather, it continued from the first bracha.
First of all, Rabbi, when you do wine, I give it. And it's leftovers after Birkat HaMazon. You cannot drink it anymore if it's leftover.
We're not talking about that at all. That's not our case.
I understand that, but I'm just...
Why couldn't you drink it? You could drink it.
You could drink it, but you don't have to say bracha anymore.
You have to make a new bracha.
After Birkat HaMazon, you have to... Even though the cup is like a little bit left in there, You already did the agapen before.
Oh, no, then you could drink it. That's part of your drinking. That's fine.
You have to say a new bracha.
No, you'd have to make a new bracha when you make a break. When you say, I'm going to do Birkat HaMazon, and then you change your mind, you have to make a new bracha.
Uh-huh.
How about the water? Water too?
Yeah, once you say Havlan Vinivarech, once you say we want a bench, that's it. Any other food you eat now needs a new bracha, because you've already said we wanted a bench. You made a hefsek.
Even though you said it prior to Birkat HaMazon.
Yeah.
Okay, now how could you shake an animal with one hand? It's impossible.
Why not? Somebody else is holding it. With your right hand, you shecht, and with your left hand, you're covering blood.
You're very gifted. You need to put
the... So why can't he do the shake and somebody else cover the blood? Isn't it easier?
That's the next Mishnah. All right, we'll see in a second about somebody else covering the blood. That's this Mishnah. Now the Mishnah says, Shachad v'lo kisa. Let's say you shecht and you did not cover the blood. V'ro acher. Somebody else saw you shechting. So chayav l'chassos, that person is now obligated to cover the blood. All right, that's case number one. Case number one is if you didn't cover, really you should cover. But if you didn't, someone else saw it, he should cover. Case number two, kiso, let's say you shechted. And you covered the blood. Vinizgala, and then it was uncovered. The wind uncovered it. Patum l'chassos, so you don't have to recover it. What happens though if you didn't cover? You shechted, and then kiso aruach. The wind covered it. So now there was no mitzvah of shechit of kisui adam. But Hashem sort of covered the blood. So once it's covered, you don't have to recover. But if it gets uncovered, chayev l'chassos, you're obligated to recover. Tanar Rabbanu L'din Abraisa. The verse says, v'shafach, he'll spill the blood, v'chisa, he should cover it. So that tells him, yishashafach yichasa, the one who spills the blood, the one who does the shechita, he's the one who should be covering. However, shachad v'lo kisa, but if the one who shachted didn't cover, v'ro acher, and somebody else saw him, minayin shachayv l'chassos, how do we know that that person now is obligated to cover? Shenamar, because the verse says, v'omar livnei Yisrael. The whole verse was, ki nefesh kol basar damo v'nafshohu, v'omar livnei Yisrael, dam kol basar lo tochelu, ki nefesh kol basar damohi, so the verse in that context of Kisi Adam talks about, it's the next verse after the verse of Veshafach V'chisa. The next verse has this phrase, V'omar livnei Yisrael, and I said it to the Jewish people. That's telling you that these laws are azhara l'chol bnei Yisrael. It's a warning to all the Jews, not only to the one shochet, but everyone, even those watching. Okay. Tanya Yidach, we learned in another brisa. The verse says v'shafach v'chisa. That means v'mashe shafach bo yichaseh. The same way he slaughtered, the same way he spilled, namely with his hand, that's the way he should cover. Shelo yichaseh b'regel. He shouldn't, you know, slaughter with hand and then kick over dirt to cover the blood. And that tells you another rule. Shelo yumitzvos b'zuyu salam. Don't mistreat mitzvos. Don't treat them with disdain, with lack of respect. Mitzvos should be treated with, you know, reverence, respect, kavod mitzvah. There should be honor for the mitzvah. Hanidach learned in another braisa. First verse was, v'shafach, he'll spill the blood, v'chisen, cover the blood. That tells you, misha shafach hu yichasen, the one who does the spilling, the one who does the slaughtering, he's the one who should do the covering. Ma'aseh be'achat, there was a story with a person, sheshachat, he slaughtered, v'kadam chaver v'chisa, and his friend, he was going to cover. Not that he was not going to cover. He was going to cover. But his friend jumped in and his friend covered first. So that's this general rule. If somebody jumps in and takes away your mitzvah, they owe you money. 10 gold coins. Wow. 10 gold coins.
Same as if someone didn't answer.
Grabbing your mitzvah away. That's what we're learning here. V'chivo Rabban Gamliel itin lo asara zehuvim. And Rabban Gamliel obligated this guy who jumped in to give to the slaughterer 10 gold coins.
Rabbi, this 10 gold coin, is that any mitzvah?
Or any mitzvah.
Rabbi, didn't we just learn above that it's a mitzvah on everyone? It's not a mitzvah on the person who did it?
No, it's primarily the mitzvah on him. Because it says v'shafach v'chisa. But if he didn't, then you have v'amar livnei Yisrael. Then everybody else can step in. But primarily his mitzvah.
Could you do the reverse? Could you sell your mitzvah for 10
coins? Maybe. It's interesting.
I think we have some stories about that. Somebody selling.
Yeah.
It's a very unique mitzvah. Usually the mitzvah is on the person, right? And this is.
It is. It's primarily on him, but if he didn't do it, then other people have the obligation.
Is there any money value for those 10 gold?
No, real gold coins. 10 gold coins are worth a lot.
I know, but how much is it that way? I mean, could
today's dollars, I don't know, but it's 10 gold coins. It's a lot.
Not
a dinar. Yibailu, they had a question. Why was he making them pay the 10 gold coins? Was it tzchar mitzvah that they had to pay for the mitzvah that they took away? Or tzchar bracha? Or they had to pay because they took away the bracha? The fact that they did the kisui adam meant that the slaughterer didn't do it and he didn't get to make a bracha. And for taking away his bracha, they had to pay the 10 gold coins. L'may nafkamina, what's the difference whether it's the mitzvah or the bracha? I'll tell you what the difference is. Birkas hamazon, let's say somebody steals away your benching. You have, everybody ate. You're the one with the cup. You're supposed to lead the birkat hamazon. And he starts it off. He does the birkat hamazon. And he says it instead of you. So yeah, it's tzchar mitzvah achasi. If we focus on a mitzvah, then it'll be 10 gold coins. Yeah, it's tzchar biracha. If we say that the 10 gold coins are for the blessings, there are 4 blessings in birkat hamazon. Tzchar bar mavi. Then you'll have to pay 40 gold coins because he took away 4 blessings. Hazan ala aretz v'alamazon bnei Yerushalayim and atov ameitiv. So Mai, what's the conclusion? Is it when somebody takes away a mitzvah, he owes you 10 gold coins for the bracha he took? Or does he owe you 10 gold coins for the mitzvah that he took? Tashma, come in here, proof in the following story. There was this heretic. Remember the times of the Talmud and the Mishnayos? There were heretics, the Tzedukim, the Baitusim, the Kutim. They did not accept the oral Torah. They used to take verses very literally. So there was a heretic who took verses literally, and so he used to argue with Rabbi. And he said to Rabbi, listen, Mishiyatzar Arim lo bara ruach. There are two gods. The one who made the mountains didn't make the wind. Mishibara ruach lo b'yatzar Arim. And the one who made the wind didn't make the mountains. This is because the verse says, Kihine yotzer harim. For behold, he's the fashioner of mountains. Ubore ruach, and creator of wind. So if it's the same being, it should say the same verb. It should say, Ki yotzer harim varuach. Sounds like, no, there's the one being who's the yotzer. There's the fashioner. The fashioner made the harim. There's another being who's the Bore? The Bore made the Ruach. Two different creators. Amar Leis, he said to him, Shota, idiot. Shvil is safe at the crab. I read the end of the verse. Hashem Tzvakot Shemo. God, the Lord of all hosts, is his name. You see, it's only one creator. It's not two creators. Amar Leis, he said, oh my gosh, you just proved me. Nekot li zimnat lasayama. Give me 3 days. I'm going to come back to you with a disproof. I'm going to come back to you with a question showing that I'm right. That the verse itself is saying that there are two creators. So Yosef Rebbe Tlasatanis. So Rebbe fasted for the next 3 days. Rebbe fasted for the next 3 days that Hashem should not allow this heretic to come up with a good question. Yavakai by Mivra. So after the 3 days, when he wanted to heal himself from these fasts, this heretic wasn't around, but there was another heretic around. Amru Leimina, so the other heretic said to Rabbi, they said to him, Mina Koi Abavan. Other people said to Rabbi, there's some other heretic outside. Amar, so he said, oh my gosh. V'yitnu bivarosi rosh. They're putting in my meal something bitter. I'm going through all these hard times with these heretics. Amar le Rabbi, so this heretic said to him, no, Rabbi, our teacher, Mevaser Tovos Ani Lecha, I have good news for you. Lo matza tshuva ivecha. Your enemy, who you so were upset about, his heresy and his challenges and his verses, you asked him a good question. He said he was going to come back to you with a question. He didn't find a question. For 3 days, he tried to figure out how you're wrong. And really, the verse is saying that there are two gods. He couldn't, because the verse says, Hashem Tzvakot Shemo, there's only one God. He was so upset, Nafal Min HaGagumeis, he went and committed suicide. He jumped off of a roof, he's dead.
Good That's good news.
That's good news. Okay. Amar Lo. So Rebbe said to that guy, Ritzon Chashatiso Datsli. Okay. Do you want to eat with me? Let's have a party. Amar Lo, hey. He said, yeah, I'd like to eat with you. So after Rebbe ate with this heretic who told him about the suicide of the first heretic, Amar Leh, he said to him, Koshel bracha atashose, or baim zuhuv matanota. He said to him like this, do you want to drink the cup of blessing with me? Do you want to join with the Birkas HaMazon and say Amen with me? Or would you rather just take 40 gold coins because you don't want to say Amen to the bracha? Amar lo, so this guy said, Koshel bracha nishot, I want to say Koshel bracha, I'm not going to take the 40 gold coins. Yatsa baskol, and a voice came out of heaven and said, Koshel bracha shavar baim zuvin. You see, a cup of blessing is worth 40 gold coins. What do you see? And it's not just the mitzvah that you need to pay for. You need to pay for taking away somebody's bracha. And if you took away somebody's benching, you'd owe him 40 gold coins. Now, about this story. Amar Reb Yitzchak, going back to the story, Reb Yitzchak said, Adayin yeshen l'osa mishpacha. This family of the guy who gave the good news to Rebbe that the other heretic died, that's such a blessing, they're still around. Ben Gdolei Romi, they're amongst the nobles of Rome. The Koren Osa, the name of the family is Mishpachas Bar Luyanis. The family of Bar Luyanis. That's who they are. Okay. Luyanis.
What kind of a name is it?
Italian. So you see, it's good. You bring good news to Rebbe for generations. You know, the family is rich and honored. One of the great people of Rome.
I don't understand why Rebbe did the Tanit for 3 days. For what? He passed it for 3 days.
That Hashem should help him, that the heretic shouldn't come up with good questions. Heretics used to give him a hard time. He was upset about them because people would listen to them. Yeah, question on Moog.
There's another way of understanding it. I think Rebbe may have had regrets for having a meal with his heretic. So
that's said, right.
Yeah.
So he did. He was regretting making a. He was regretting this guy being part of the bracha.
Yeah.
How can I count this guy to the mezumim? So he says, listen, don't join in on the benching. So I'm going to take away from you the bracha, but I'll give you money. I'll give you 40 gold coins. So the guy says, no, I want to join in the bracha. I don't want to get paid off for the mitzvah. I want to join in the bracha. You see, from a baskol, you see what a mitzvah is worth.
And Rashi says, "Be'ezer amen." And that's, by the way, the source for the halacha that if you steal somebody's bracha, if you are there and you answer the amen, you have the potential to answer the amen, you don't get the fine.
Right.
And because amen is like a specific thing.
Exactly.
The famous, I think, the answer was with mohel. So one mohel stole, the other mohel was written up.
Right. That's right. That's right. Okay, so the Mishnah then said, Kisov in his gallet, let's say you covered the blood and then it was revealed, you don't need to recover. Amalei Rav Acha, Breda Rav, Rav Ashi, Rav Acha, the son of Rav, said to Rav Ashi, Maishna Me'ashava Saveda, why is covering the blood any different than returning the lost object, which you have to return multiple times? Damar Ma, as we've learned, the verse says, Hashav Tishi Venu Lo, Hashav, return it, Afilu Me'apam, even 100 times. Amalei, he said to him, Hasam over there, Lo Ksiv Miuta, it doesn't say any exclusion. But here it does have an exclusion. That's v'chisahu. He shall cover it and not cover it multiple times. And the Mishnah says, Kisahu, ruach of the wind covered it. Chayev l'chasas, he has to recover. What does it mean he has to recover? Loshano shulchasav in his galah. The wind covered it and then it was revealed, he has to recover. Avalochasav in his galah. But if it wasn't uncovered, patim l'chasas, he doesn't have to recover. V'chichasav in his galah, my havi. I understand. If it was covered by the wind, then it was uncovered. Why does he have to recover? Once it was covered by the wind, it was pushed aside. It's covered. Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, Zosa Maris has taught you a rule. There's a difference between mitzvos and karbanos. In a karban, if at one point it's pushed aside, it stays pushed aside. But in a mitzvah, we don't say that. A mitzvah doesn't get pushed aside because it was once pushed aside. Now you can do it. Now you have to do it. Even though earlier you couldn't do it. Why is this any different from what we learned in a braisa? A shochet, if a person shechts v'nivla dam bekarka, and the blood gets absorbed in the ground, chayev l'chasos, he has to cover. So Gemara answers, hasam kishrishum onikar, there, it's in the ground, but you can still see the impression of it, so you have to cover it. Here, when we say kiso aruach, it's that the wind covered it with dirt, and you can't see it anymore, so then you don't need to cover it at all until it gets uncovered, and then you have to recover. Next Mishnah, Dam Shinasari B'mayim. If blood mixes in water, so now is it blood or is it water? The answer is like this. And yesh b'maris, tam, if it still looks like blood, there's not enough water to dilute it fully. Chayav l'chasos, you're obligated to cover. Nisarev b'yayin, what happens if the blood mixes in the wine? So roen oso, kilu mayim. So now we view it as if it is water. We imagine the wine water, and if that amount of water would make it diluted, and you couldn't see it as blood anymore, then you don't have to cover it. But if that amount of water would still appear to be blood, you have to cover it. Nisayar b'dam behema. Let's say the blood of a chaya or the blood of a bird mixes with the blood of a behema. Behema doesn't need kisui, the blood of a behema. Blood of a chaya and blood of a bird do need kisui. O b'dam achaya. Or let's say the blood of shechita mixes with the blood of bloodletting of a wild animal, which doesn't need kisui. So again, the same as the laws that we had with the wine. Roenoso, kielu ein mayim. We imagine these things that don't need kisui to be water, and we make an assessment. If this amount of water with this amount of blood, would the blood appear and still be there? If yes, it needs kisui. If it wouldn't appear to be blood, it doesn't need kisui. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, ein dam vatel dam. Because remember, Rabbi Yehuda has a rule all over that min b'mino is not bata. When you have a mixture of a type with its own type, it doesn't lose its identity. So he says, even if you'd have a huge amount of, let's say, blood of behemo, or a huge amount of blood of bloodletting mixing with the blood of a chaya, we wouldn't say, oh, since it's so much and were that amount to be water, it wouldn't look to be blood anymore, therefore you don't need to cover it. No, because it's blood with blood. And since it's blood with blood, it doesn't get annulled, and therefore you need to cover. Damanitas. Let's say blood splatters out of the little hole in which you're trying to pour the blood. Or the blood, shalasakin, the blood that's on the knife. Chayav lechasas, you have to cover that too. Rebuda said, a masai, when is that so? Bisman shein shem dam elohu. When there's no blood other than that. Avoye shem dam shalohu, but if there's some other blood, patim lechasos, you don't need to cover, because here we get into the issue that Baruch brought up today and yesterday. How much blood needs to be covered? According to the Chacham, you have to cover everything. According to Beauty, you only have to cover some of the blood. So if you have blood on the knife, if you have other blood that you can cover, you don't need to cover the blood that's on the knife because you covered the other blood. Says the Gemara, Tananas, and we learned in a Mishnah in Zvachim in regards to throwing blood on the Mizbeach. Dam shenesarei b'mayim, if the blood of a carbon gets mixed with water, im yesh bo maris dam, if the mixture looks like blood, kasher, it's still kasher to throw it on the mizbeach. Nisarev b'yayin, yet say the blood of the carbon got mixed with wine. Roen oso kilu mayim, we imagine that that wine is blood. We imagine that that wine is water. We imagine that it's water. And we make an assessment. If that amount of water with this amount of blood, would it still look like blood? If yes, we can throw this mixture of blood and wine on the Mizbeach. Nisar b'dam behema. Let's say the blood of a carbon gets mixed with the blood of a behema of chulin. O b'dam achaya, where it got mixed with the blood of a chaya, which of course could never be a carbon. Again, roen oso kilu mayim. We imagine as if that dam behema or dam chaya was water. If this amount of blood with this amount of water were to mix, if it would still look like blood, then that mixture now of dam carbon with dam behema also gets thrown onto the mizbeach.
Rabbi, the shuket has to clean the knife from shek to shek,
After he shechts.
Yeah.
According to the opinion that all the blood needs to be covered, so that knife also needs to go. That blood of that knife has to be scratched off and put into the dirt. According to the other opinion, which is the way we paskin, you just need to cover a little bit of the blood, so you don't need to cover that blood.
So he doesn't have to clean the knife every year?
Correct, doesn't
shift.
Have to
clean,
no.
Okay. There's a little bit of blood or the majority of the blood?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
No, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein dam mevatel dam. If there's a mixture of blood with blood, blood can't annul blood. So even if it's a huge amount of blood, a huge amount of blood of a deer that got mixed with a little bit of blood of a carbon, you can still throw that mixture onto the mizbeach because the blood of the carbon doesn't lose its identity in blood. We didn't learn this law. Ella, where the water fell into the blood. So therefore, drip by drip of the water gets annulled in the blood. And then, so long as it's the mixture still looks like blood, you can throw it on to the mizbeach. Avol nafal dam letoch mayim, but if it's blood falling into water, rishon batel. The first drop of blood as it goes in loses its identity in the water, because at that point you can't see that it looks like blood. And then already it becomes water. So then the second drop of blood also becomes water. So even though after all the blood got in, it looks like it's still bloody, because it was enough blood to still be nikar, but that what's there now is not blood. What's there had already become water. So therefore you couldn't throw it on the mizbeach according to Rav Chiya bar Abba. Amrav Papa, Rav Papa said, Linyan kisui adam eino kein. If you're going to say this halacha called kama batil, the first bit and then the next bit, each lose their identity, that's not going to be true in regards to covering it. Because ein dichui etzel mitzvos. In regards to a mitzvah, when the first drop dropped in, and yes, when that first drop came in, it didn't look like blood, the mixture. But a mitzvah doesn't get dachui, it doesn't get pushed aside. It's just waiting. Okay, right now you couldn't do it. But then once you have enough blood that it does look like blood in the mixture, then certainly you would have to cover this mixture. You have to cover the blood. A mitzvah doesn't get pushed aside. It's not like a carbon. A carbon, which you couldn't once do, gets dachui, gets pushed aside. But in mitzvos, there is no dichui. All right, we're talking about this topic of blood that mixed with water. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda taught in the name of Shmuel, blood that mixes with water. Kol marad mumis, as long as it looks ready, reddish mechaprin, then the throwing of it on the mizbeach creates atonement. Fine, that's what we learned until now. But not only that, umach shirin, if this mixture were to be put on a fruit, it would make the fruit able to become tamit. V'chayavim bekisui, and as long as it's reddish, it's still blood, and you're obligated to cover it. One second, Micah Mashlan. What's he telling us? What's Rav Yehuda telling us in the name of Shmuel? Mechaprin, that when it's still reddish, you can still throw it on the Mizbeach Tzinina. That was the mission that we just were discussing. Hayne b'chayavim b'kisui, that if it's reddish, you need to cover it. Also Tzinina, that's our Mishnah. So I said, you're right. Machshirin itzrichale. The reason why we needed Shmuel was to tell you that if it's reddish, it could still be machshir. It could still make a fruit able to become tameh. If you willingly put it on a fruit and rinse a fruit with it. So Gemara says, Machshirin Nami, I don't need Shmuel for that. In terms of Machshirin, Idam, if it's blood, Machshirin Machshir, blood can always be Machshir, it's one of the seven liquids. The seven liquids, we remember them through the acronym Yad Shachat Dam. Imayan, if it's water, also Machshirin Machshir. Right? If it's not blood, it's water. Water can also be Machshir. Lotzricha, so what's the case of Shmuel? Is where you had blood. Shetimdo b'mei geshamim, where he mixed it with rainwater. Now, rainwater that you don't want does not machshir things. So here you had rainwater getting into this blood. So we would have thought that the blood loses its identity to the rainwater. Therefore, it's rainwater. And rainwater that you don't want is not being machshir. That's what Shmuel is saying, that no, since it looks like blood, it's still blood, and therefore it could be machshir. So I don't understand. Make shamim nami. Even if we're talking about rainwater. Okay, when the shak of a rami, once you take a cup of the rainwater and you pour it into the blood, achshavinu. So that's already making the rainwater into a liquid that can be machshir. No, the case is the rainwater on its own went into the blood. Therefore, if it doesn't look like blood anymore, it's rainwater, and rainwater on its own is not yet machshir. The Gemara says another answer, what Shmuel was telling us, why he had to tell us that when blood is mixed with water, it's, if it looks like blood, it could still be machshir like blood. Rav Asi min Aharbil Omer, Rav Asi min Aharbil explained, we're talking about Slelta de Dama, the clear liquid that comes out of the blood. When blood hardens, all around it there's a certain clear liquid, which actually looks like water. So I might have thought that that is not considered blood. So Reb Shmuel is saying, Reb Yudom Reb Shmuel is saying, if it looks somewhat reddish, it's still blood, and it could be machshir l'tumah. If it wouldn't look reddish, then it wouldn't have the status of blood in terms of being able to be machshir. So now we talk about this. Oh, wow, very nice. We talk about, they call it blood plasma. Okay, so now we talk more about this blood plasma. Rav Yirmi Redifta, Yom Rav Yirmi Redifta said, a guy who drinks blood plasma, anush kares, deserves the penalty of kares, of the soul being cut off, like blood. For who to eat a kezias, as long as he consumed a kezias worth, an olive worth. The Masnisatan in the Brisa was taught, mitam in ba'ohel. If somebody goes into a room that has blood plasma, that is reddish, from a dead body, he becomes tameh, v'udadika revius, as long as that is a revius, a log worth of blood plasma. It's not us, we're going to do the mission over there. Kol mashke hameis, any liquid that comes out of a dead body, like the tears or milk coming out of a woman who's dead, tohorin, those liquids are tohor. Chutz midamo, except for the blood that comes out of a dead body, that is tamei. V'chol marad mumin shebo, and any water mixed with blood of a dead body, nitamin ba'ohel, they create tuma in a tent because it's blood. And therefore, it's blood of a dead body. Blood of a dead body transmits tuma. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow about mashke hameis, the liquids that come out of a dead body. Rabbi Charanya ben Akashi Omer Ratzak.